Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the Gospel this weekend, we hear the story of Jesus teaching in the synagogue. At first, we say to ourselves, we've heard this story before. What's so special about it? Well, this story from Mark's Gospel is very special and unique. Notice how it starts out. It says, "Then they came to Capernaum." Well, immediately we know where Jesus is. And this is going to be significant to help us understand the message for this gospel. Capernaum is a neighboring town of Nazareth, Jesus' hometown. So when Jesus enters into the synagogue, the people all know who he is, and he knows many of the people there. Now, it's interesting. It says the people were astonished at his teaching, for Jesus taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus teaches with authority. Now, if you look at the original Greek translation, the word authority can also be translated into source. Jesus teaches with authority, as if he is the source of the teaching, and he is. Jesus is the Word of God, and therefore, Jesus Christ is the font of divine revelation that the law and the prophets all drink from. Therefore, it shouldn't be a surprise for us to know that Jesus does teach with authority. And why not? As Jesus says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is pure truth, pure knowledge. Yet the people in the synagogue were astonished by the way Jesus taught with authority. Why is that? Well, first, because it says, Jesus taught with authority and not as the scribes. The scribes during Jesus' time were the traditional teachers in matters of the law, the prophets, doctrine, and Jewish tradition. But the scribes relied upon help from other people, as well as help in interpreting the sacred scripture. They didn't really teach with authority, as if they were the source of the teaching. A second and more deeper reason is what I would refer to as the principle of familiarity. Remember, Jesus is in Capernaum. Many of the people in that synagogue know who he was. In fact, they've seen Jesus grow up. They've seen him, run around the neighborhood as a little boy. They've seen him as a teenager take on the vocation of a carpenter. And now they see him walk into the synagogue and teach as if Jesus had the training and the education in the Jewish faith, which he did not. And therefore, it's difficult for the people to understand and believe that Jesus could teach with such authority as if he were trained in the law, in the prophets, in Jewish tradition. Therefore, the people know Jesus in a superficial level. They know Jesus as the kid next door, the son of Mary and Joseph. They refuse to believe that he could possibly be the Son of God. That's why Jesus gives us that very famous quote in which he says, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and in his home." And therefore, Jesus didn't work many miracles in his hometown or the neighboring villages because of the people's lack of faith. My friends, we cannot fall into that same trap ourselves. We cannot fall into that principle of familiarity in our own faith life. Maybe we've said to ourselves, well, you know, I've received all the sacraments, I've been confirmed, and therefore I don't have to take any more classes about religion. I have all the knowledge I need to know about the Catholic faith. And then we move on. And yet, what happens is we too understand our faith now in a superficial level, and now refuse to receive the Word of God and allow it to form us and change us throughout our life. That's why I'm constantly preaching that we must enter into a lifelong faith formation. Our entire life must be one in which we are constantly working at our own formation, both spiritually as well as intellectually. We must always be reading and learning about all aspects of our faith: art, architecture, music, sacred scripture, tradition, church history. Our Catholic faith is so expansive and so inexhaustible that it would take us literally a lifetime to begin to fathom it all. And therefore, we must constantly be working at forming ourselves and void the trap of the principle of familiarity. When we enter into a lifelong faith formation, then yes, the Word of God takes hold of us, and we are then empowered by it and formed and fashioned into the image and likeness of God. Now, I think this story in the Gospel highlights the fact that God's words have power to it. Notice how the story in the Gospel begins. The Word of God has the power to teach with authority. And at the very end of the story, it is the Word of God that has the power to exorcise the demon out of that man and heal him. The Word of God has the power to change as well as create. And this we see in the very first reading from Deuteronomy. Here God tells Moses, he says, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their kin, and I will put my words into their mouth." God, throughout salvation history, is constantly sending prophet after prophet after prophet to the Israelites. And what does he do with the prophets? He places his word into their mouths. And it is the Word of God that has the power to change the hearts and the minds of the Israelites. Yet notice, each prophet has a different message. Moses speaks the words of God to a people that is enslaved in Egypt. In doing so, they become liberated. Jeremiah speaks the word of God to a people that is in need of reform and reconciliation with God. And after a while, they turn back to God and amend their ways. Amos speaks the words of God to the Israelites to raise their conscience and their duties of social justice issues in their responsibility of caring for the poor and the neglected in their society. And after a period of time, they do just that. They begin to accept the poor and help them. The Word of God has the power to change and create us as well as the world. Where is the power of God most powerfully seen? In the story of creation. In Genesis, how does God create the world? Does he create the world using his hands or his muscle? No, not at all. God creates the world, the universe, by his very word. God said, "Let there be light," and immediately there was light. God said, "Let the earth bring forth all kinds of creatures," and so it happened. God said, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness," and Adam and Eve were created. God's word has the power to create this world as well as the universe. And yet we too have the privilege of seeing the power of the Word of God in our own midst. Where? In the Mass, specifically at the time of the consecration, in which the priest holds up the bread and he says, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." And then he takes the chalice, he holds it up, and he says, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It'll be shed for you and for all so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me. It is at that time that the bread and the wine are consecrated into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. How? Because the words spoken by the priest are the words of God. They are the very words that Jesus spoke at the time of the Last Supper, as attested to in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as well as Paul's letter to the Corinthians. These are the words that Jesus Christ spoke, and therefore he consecrated the bread and the wine into his body and blood at the very Last Supper with his apostles. And yet, when these words, the words of God, are spoken at the time of our Mass, they are the words of Jesus Christ. And only the words of Christ have the power to command the Holy Spirit to descend upon the altar and transform and consecrate the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. My friends, if God's word has the power to create the universe, "Let there be light," and there was light, then God's word has the power to change the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And yet, it doesn't stop there. The word of God continues to have power over us. Every time we pray and read sacred scripture, the word of God empowers us to form our conscience so that we become more enlightened disciples of Jesus Christ. When we pray, it is the word of God that touches the very depths of our hearts and reassures us of God's ever-growing love for each and every one of us. What is required of us? Receptivity. Receptivity. We must be receptive to the word of God so that we now are open to receive its power. And so what is receptivity? I think the best way to describe it is the contrast between Zacchaeus and the rich man in the gospel stories. Both receive the word of God. Both receive the invitation to a new life with Jesus Christ. The rich man is a good and upstanding man. He's not a sinner. He follows all the Ten Commandments. Yet he receives the word of God as something extra in his life, something that is surplus, and therefore walks away from it. Zacchaeus, however, is a tax collector, a sinner, and sinners are always in need. And therefore, Zacchaeus hears the word of God. He sees the new life that Jesus is inviting him into. What's his attitude? "I must have it, and I must have it now." And therefore, he opens himself up to receive the word. It is the word of God in its power changes Zacchaeus's heart and mind, and now he becomes a disciple of Christ. My friends, one of the requirements of receptivity is the painful awareness of our emptiness. And yet at the same time, we have the promise of fullness that is given to us by the power of the word of God. And see, that lies at the heart of this gospel's message. I'll leave you with one last thought. Saint Jerome translated the Bible from Greek to Latin. And during this process, Jesus Christ appeared to him from time to time. Well, as Saint Jerome was finally concluding the translation, Jesus Christ appeared to him. And Saint Jerome looked at Jesus and he said, "My Lord, what else can I give you?" Jesus said to him, "Give me your emptiness, and I will fill it." May the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.